he was the first pastor I met down here. He reached out and showed the love of Christ like so many of you did today. You made us feel so welcome. And you can tell when people are being genuine. Amen, somebody? And we thank God for the love that overflows. I thank God for the invitation to come and share. I'm a little bit older than him. Amen. A decade plus, so we'll believe it at that. I don't have all his energy. I'm 71, I don't mind saying, 71. Amen. So, but I thank God that we serve a God who can relate to you no matter who and how old or young you may be. And the love of God is for all of us. I thank God that my wife of 35 years, Deborah, came with me this morning. I don't walk back and forth as much as your pastor because I don't have the energy, number one. Plus, I had a full hip replacement September 4th, so I'm still healing from that. But I thank God again for this privilege. He gave me the liberty to be myself. I don't have to be him. And I thank God that growth will tell you that God has intentionally made each one of us an original. And we don't have to be like nobody else. Be who God called you to be. Somebody say, in Christ. In Christ Jesus. The psalmist opens up Psalm 91 with these words. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in him will I trust. Jeremiah, the weeping prophet, pens these words in Lamentations 3:21. He pens these words as a way of encouraging himself. Are there any real people in the house who don't mind acknowledging that sometimes you need encouragement? Even though you know God loves you and you love God, even though you know you are steeped in his word, even though you know the Holy Spirit is abiding, we still need encouragement, and we need to encourage each other. Jeremiah writes, this I recall to my mind, therefore have I hope. It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because his compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. Jeremiah says, I can't speak for you, but the Lord is my portion, saith my soul. Therefore in him will I trust. He says, the Lord is good unto them that wait for him, to the soul that seeketh him. It is good that a man should both hope and quietly wait for the deliverance, for the salvation of the Lord. As I sought the Lord's direction as to what he would have me say to you on this second Sunday in Advent, he led me to a very familiar passage of scripture, but I'm so glad that the word of God is alive and quick. No matter how many times you read it, there's always something else God can give to you. So for those of you who want to know where I'm coming from the book of Gospel according to Matthew, and I'm going to share from a very familiar passage of scripture. Blind Bartimaeus and the Lord touching my eyes when he gives me these. Hello, somebody. The Gospel of Matthew chapter 1, beginning at verse 18. We find these words from the King James Version. Now, the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise, when as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privately. But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. And she shall bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus, for he shall save all his people from their sins. Now, all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, behold, the virgin shall be with child and shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. For the time that's mine, I want to preach from the subject, celebrating the Savior. Celebrating the Savior. Spirit of the living God, fall afresh on us. Anoint our ears, prepare our hearts, that as your word goes forth, it will take root and bear spiritual fruit in our lives. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Celebrating the Savior. On this second Sunday of Advent, I thank God that we, the people of God, we, the household of faith, have something and someone to celebrate. You do know the Apostle Paul tells us in Romans to be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of our mind, that we might prove what is that good and perfect and acceptable will unto God. In this season when the world is trying to over-commercialize this holy season, attempting to transform it into a holiday season, we, the people of God, must remember that this is a holy season. Yes, we're in the world, but not of the world. And yes, they are racing from Thanksgiving to Black Friday to Cyber Monday to Giving Tuesday. Hello, somebody. They're doing it all. And they're having Christmas parties, and some of them are having Christmas parties and haven't invited the Christ. Some of them are having Christmas parties and are drinking so much that they're getting drunk. Hello, somebody. But we, the people of God, know that Jesus, somebody say Jesus, he is the real reason for the season. We were singing and we were celebrating our freedom in Christ a little while ago. And Pastor, I tell folk that I may have some debt. I may owe on my credit cards and my car note and my mortgage. Thank God I don't, but I may. But my sin debt is paid in full. Anybody in the house know that your sin debt is paid in full? For Jesus paid it all, and all to him I owe. Somebody say debt free. Debt free. That's the only time some of us can say debt free is when it comes to our sin debt. Because you do know some of you owe on your credit card, and you owe on your mortgage, and you owe on your car note. But that's all right. You just pay it when you can. Amen. But somebody said debt free. Hallelujah. In this passage of scripture, we hear of the first coming of Jesus. And we know that the Advent season begins four Sundays before Christmas, and it ends Christmas Eve. And there we celebrate Christ's first coming into the world. And you do realize he said he's coming back again. Hallelujah. And that's why we enter to worship, but we depart to serve. We hear what Jesus said to us, and he who said, I am the light of the world, turned to his disciples and later said, you are the light of the world. And just like, hallelujah, the moon is a reflection of the S-U-N, we are a reflection of the S-O-N. And when we go out in the name of Jesus, we can impact and change worlds because we bring the life-giving, life-sustaining, life-transforming gospel of Jesus Christ. You do realize it's a life-giving, life-sustaining, life-transforming gospel. And we need to know that God loves each and every one of us and that he has called us to love each and every one of us. But he's also called us to transform to his image. Not my image, not the pastor's image, not a denomination's image, but the image of the very Son of God. Hello. So the record is in today's passage that Joseph was considering putting Mary away privately because something happened on that day that had never happened before. And brothers, don't you condemn Joseph, because if you were in his shoes, you too wouldn't have been just sitting there. Hello, somebody. But the Holy Spirit spoke and told Joseph that there was nothing to worry about. Aren't you glad that God speaks to his people? We do not serve a mute God. And no matter what you go through, all you need is a word from the Lord. If you're sick, all you need is a word of healing. If you have a decision to make, all you need is a word of counsel. But seek out a word from the Lord. Now, the scripture tells us that the angel Gabriel told Mary and Joseph what to name the baby. Hello, somebody. This was not going to be a Joseph Jr. Hello, somebody. For this was the very Son of God. Joseph didn't have anything to do with it. And I don't know about you, but I'm so glad he didn't. Because had he, we would have inherited Joseph's sin nature. And we too would be on our way to hell. But thank God. Can somebody say thank God for Jesus? And thank God for the Holy Spirit. Verse 21 says that Mary would conceive and that she would bring forth a son. Wouldn't have to go to the doctor and have an ultrasound. Hello, somebody. Wasn't going to have a gender party. But the record is that she would bring forth a son. And again, they weren't going to call him Joseph Jr., but thou shalt call his name Jesus. In the name Jesus, we have the purpose for him coming, for he shall save his people from their sins. Thou shalt call his name Jesus. Now all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet. And we know some 700 years later, or 700 years prior, 700 years prior, the prophet Isaiah had written in that seventh chapter that a virgin shall give birth and she shall have a son. She shall be overshadowed by the Holy Spirit. And then in the ninth chapter, Isaiah would write, for unto us, hallelujah, a child is born. Unto us, a son is given. And the government shall be upon his shoulders. And his name, somebody say his name, shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. His name. Can somebody say he's wonderful? Hallelujah. Can somebody say he's my counselor? He's my mighty God. He's my everlasting Father. He is the Prince of Peace. Hallelujah. So they shall call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. It was Isaiah who reminded us that as he grew up, lived a sinless life, and would die a sacrificial death, that he would be wounded for our transgressions and bruised for our iniquities. And the chastisement of our peace was upon him. And by his stripes, we are healed. We thank God that we have a Savior who loved us enough, who said, Daddy, I'd rather go to hell for them than to go to heaven without them. So he came and he redeemed us from the bondage of sin. And after he redeemed us, he reconciled us back to our Father in his love. And every now and then I just call him my sinless Savior, my righteous Redeemer, my divine Deliverer. Every now and then I remind myself that he is a loving Lord. He is a gracious God and he is a merciful Messiah. Hallelujah! 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 And you do know he did it because he wanted to. He didn't do it because we deserved it. Hallelujah. Can anybody say thank God for mercy? Thank God for mercy. Now, I know we're living in a day and age where many of us are standing up for justice, and we want justice. Amen. But when we're rushing and we're going faster than we're supposed to, and that red light goes on behind us and they pull us over, y'all ain't saying, give me justice. Tell the truth. Somebody saying, mercy, Lord. Mercy, Lord. Mercy, Lord. Mercy suits our case. And I'm so glad that God gave us mercy. And he allowed grace to come in and give us what we didn't deserve. Yes, on that first Christmas morning, a virgin was with child and brought forth a son. And they called his name Emmanuel, reminding us that we're not alone. Somebody say, we're not alone. God is with us. And I'm so glad that God isn't one of those friends. Sometimes you can have friends with you, but they can't help. If I'm broke and you broke too, you can't help. If I'm lost and you lost too, you can't help. Amen, somebody. If I have a need and you can't help supply that need, we both in the same situation. But isn't it good to have a God by your side who knows the ending from the beginning? Isn't it good to have a God by your side who is omnipotent? All power is in his hand. Isn't it good to have a God who's omniscient? He knows everything about everything. Isn't it good to have a God by your side who is omnipresent? He's every place at the same time. We need to remind ourselves that regardless of what we go through, God is with us. Amen. And he's with us to bless us. He's with us to perform his perfect will. You do know we are his workmanship. You do know we were ordained and created unto good works. Amen. He wants to impact the world. He wants to enlarge his kingdom. Amen. We pray thy kingdom come, thy will be done. But how busy are we at advancing his kingdom? We say we love the Lord, but the record is we love him because he first loved us. Hello, somebody. So are we about our Heavenly Father's business? Jesus reminds us that there's coming a day when he's going to separate the goats from the sheep. And he's going to put the goats on one side and he's going to put the sheep on another side. And he's going to commend the sheep because he said, when I was hungry, you fed me. When I was thirsty, you gave me drink. When I was naked, you clothed me. When I was sick, you took care of me. When I was a stranger, you took me in. When I was in prison, you visited me. And the disciples said, Lord, when do we see you hungry or thirsty or naked? When do we see you in prison? Jesus said, inasmuch as you have done it to the least of them, you have done it unto me. And so it's not just a matter of what we do, but we've got to do it, somebody say, in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. And we've got to be for real. Because everybody talking about heaven ain't going. Heaven is a prepared place for prepared people. And you need a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. You can't get into the kingdom because of who your mama or your daddy was. You need to know him for yourself. And I'm so glad that you don't have to be perfect. Hello, somebody. Can somebody say forgiven? Forgiven in Jesus' name. If you come willing to repent and acknowledge that name that is above every name. Anybody know that name?
Jesus.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You do realize this. Only one name given among men whereby we must be saved. And that is the name of Jesus. His name is above every name. So yes, they shall call him Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Yes, they shall call him Emmanuel. Some call him Jehovah Jireh, my provider. And some call him Jehovah Nisi, my banner. And others call him Jehovah Shammah, the ever-present God. And some call him God El Shaddai, the Most High God. But I love to call his name Jesus, For that is the name that is above every name. And that is the name that reminds me that my sin debt has been paid in full. That is the name. Hallelujah. That lets me know I can be all that he has said I am in him. Hallelujah. That is the name that reminds me that I have been forgiven. Hallelujah. That I have been pardoned. That salvation is mine and redemption is mine and reconciliation is mine. And that's why I worship him. That's why I praise him. That's why I serve him. Because I celebrate a Savior. Hallelujah. And I'm so glad that I know the true meaning of Christmas. If I never get another present on that first Christmas, I got the present of presents. Hallelujah. On that first Christmas, God did for me what only God could do for me. Hallelujah. Thank you for your present, but I need God's present. Hallelujah. And I pray that we never get so comfortable with this Advent season that it loses its appeal and that we forget what God has done for us. I pray that we always remind ourselves of what the Lord did for us. I pray that we always remind and remember what this season is truly about. That Jesus is the real reason for the season. Hallelujah. It's not about what I get, but what I give. Hallelujah. It's not about Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer, but it's about the righteous Redeemer, Jesus. It's not about Santa, but about a Savior. Hallelujah. It's not about gifts, but it's about grace. It's not about a mistletoe, but it's about the Messiah. Hallelujah. It's not about sales, but it's about a Savior and salvation. Oh, it's not about discounts, but it's about deliverance. It's not about blinking lights, but it's about the light of the world. Hallelujah. Do you know the reason for the season? Oh, I tell you, it's not about the presence you get, but it's about being in his presence. That is the true meaning of the Advent season. That is what it's really all about. Now, I'm not going to preach as long as your pastor. In fact, I'm almost through. I just want to again thank him for the privilege of coming and sharing. I know he's looking at me strange. Okay, hello, somebody. You got young folk who are conditioned to listening to you for the length that the Lord gives you. But if I try to go there with an older congregation, if they don't walk out, they'll go to sleep. Hello, somebody. And some of them are going to get mad because they're probably going to watch this later and say, Pastor, did you say that about me? Yes, the pastor who loves you, the pastor who knows you, the pastor who was sent by God said yes. But we're still all growing in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Again, I thank you for the love that you have showed today. And I thank you for the impact that you are making in this city and in this county. Because what you do here makes it a whole lot easier for me over there. And there's only one Lord, one faith, one baptism. And Jesus is Lord. And as long as your pastor stays with his assignment and I stay with my assignment, there's going to be a reunion. And you're talking about shouting and jumping and running and celebrating Jesus. Hallelujah. That's what it's all about. The blessings of the Lord be upon you.